Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host El Rey discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show. Hi everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons Guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Hoi hoi, everybody.
Seems as we get closer to the end, it's just dragging a little too much.
Yeah, yes. And it got hot again.
Yes, that might be what's causing the problem.
I think that's what it is.
That and them turning off the air at work, I don't know. I don't know what to say about
that. Just walk into a sauna.
Yeah.
Every morning.
My head is extra shiny.
Yep.
It's just pretty.
It's not good.
It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. I don't like that. Mm-mm. But we're almost done.
Yeah.
We're almost done. So just.
But can you imagine going through a year of that next year?
Oh, dude. No. I hope not. Jesus. I really, really hope not.
Yeah. That would suck.
That would. But.
All right. That's enough.
Hope for the best.
Yeah. That's enough bitching from us. We're here to talk about the 8th episode of the 9th season of The Simpsons, titled Lisa the Skeptic. And it originally aired November 23rd of 1997. And we do have a full intro to talk about today.
Yes, we have a chalkboard and a couch gag.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Bart writing, "I will not tease Fatty."
Who do you think he was talking about? Homer?
No, it was at school, so it had to be like Uter. Or maybe even Martin. Don't they give Martin kind of a hard time sometimes? Yeah. So, yeah, it might be.
Okay.
I'm saying Uter. I'm going to guess Uter.
All right.
And the couch gag, we cut to the living room, and we have three men in towels on the couch, which is part of a sauna. And so they pour water, like, onto the coal, right? And then that's where you get
the steam.
Yeah, the steam, right? So,
yeah. You know, when I was watching this, I was like, this reminds me of Tokyo Vice.
Yes, yes.
those disturbing Japanese, what is it, sauna? What is it? Schwitz?
Bathhouse.
Bathhouse?
Yeah. You have ruined my sleep schedule by introducing me to that show.
I'm glad I could help. Glad I could help. All right, so we're going to start this episode off.
At the police station.
Yeah. Right? This is very unusual, right? So, apparently, the police force is planning a sting, right? Eddie, Lou, Chief Wiggum are there, and they've sent out envelopes claiming that people have won free boats to get them to come to the...
Yes.
To the police station, right? Wiggum's like, "I mailed these bonus prize certificates to every scofflaw in Springfield. When they show up for their free motorboats, we arrest them and beat them to the full extent of the law."
You just hear Eddie in the back. "So the hook is baited." Mm-hmm. And Lou's very impressed, right?
Yeah.
Nice metaphor.
And Wiggum, of course, "Yeah, good work, Eddie."
I love when he does that line. Like, "Yeah, that's good. That's good shooting there, boys," or whatever he does. I like when he does that.
He just stands back and watches them work, right? So, apparently, Homer is one of these scofflaws that Wiggum was talking about. Because we see the Simpsons family driving to the police station while Homer sings about his boat.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just making up words, right? Like, you know, like, up and away in my beautiful motorboat. Da-da-da-da. Like, he's on cloud nine.
Yeah, and Bart's like, "But we didn't enter any police raffle."
And Homer says that that doesn't matter because the important part is that they won. And he parks the car, right?
I mean, wouldn't you be suspicious?
Yes, of course.
I'd be suspicious. Anyway, so Marge then goes, "I don't know. There's something very peculiar about this."
And Homer's very annoyed already. He's like, he says, "You're the most paranoid family I've ever been affiliated with." Wow. And he gets out of the car, right?
Uh-huh.
And as he's walking in, we see our friend Snake walking in at the same time. And he actually cuts in front of Homer, right? Well, Homer tries to cut, right? But Snake's there first. And he starts making demands.
Yeah.
He's like, "I'd like a yellow boat, please, with extra motors."
And then that's when Snake comes in and is like, yo, no cuts, bro. Where's my motorboat, pig?
And Wiggum tells Snake that it's right through that door. Mm-hmm. And he kind of laughs like he's giggling, right? Uh-huh. And it says boat room right on the door.
Yeah.
And so he walks in.
And we hear a bunch of screams, right?
Yeah. And just some kerfuffle, uh-huh. right?
And then Wiggum turns around and says, all right, Simpson, Homer, you're next.
And Homer, woohoo, right? And he goes through. And he's like, howdy, gents. I'm here to collect my free. And then they just wrestle him down, right? They put his hand behind his back. Mm-hmm. And he starts, oh, my boating arm. What's going on? He's never had a boat, but apparently he has a boating arm.
Yeah, a boating arm.
Yes.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
So Wiggum then goes, you're under arrest, slime bag. What's this punk in here for, Lou?
And Lou says that Homer has 235 unpaid parking tickets, totaling $175.
So the parking tickets are less than a dollar?
I was going to say, I mean, I would get parking tickets all the time if it was that cheap.
Yeah, 75 cents?
That's what you get for one now.
Yeah, I know. Jesus.
That's, yeah.
I'd be just like Homer. So then Wiggum goes, I hope you brought your checkbook, wise guy.
And Homer's like, he uses his other hand, right? He's like, you lousy cops. Lucky for you, I'm double parked. And so he writes them a check. And he's like, and then he says, can I please have my motorboat?
And the cops just kind of look at each other.
Yeah.
And next thing we know, they're driving back home and Homer doesn't look happy at all. And everybody's kind of quiet, right? And then Bart breaks the silence. Dad, why aren't you saying anything? Where's our motorboat?
Homer just says, I didn't like it. The mast had termites.
And Lisa cuts in. Why would a motorboat have a mast?
Because the thingy was, shut up. And so he stops at the lights, and there's a construction site mm-hmm. nearby, right?
Apparently, they're building a new mega mall.
Yes. And they say that the air conditioner they're using will be more powerful than a million hydrogen bombs.
I don't know where the Marge got this information, but yeah, it sounds interesting, right? Yeah. So Lisa goes, hey, they can't just build a parking lot on Sabretooth Meadow. That's where they found all them fossils.
And Homer says, fossils, smoshals. You can't stop progress because of some old, moldy old bones. Bone schmones. And he drives off, mm-hmm. right?
And Lisa goes, but they might be paving over rare specimens. Pull over so we can complain, Dad. Come on. Who wants to complain with me?
And no one says anything, right?
And she goes, fine. I'll come back later. Who wants to come back with me?
Silence again.
Fine. Lisa is so damn annoying. She doesn't realize she's annoying either.
Well, I think she does at this point. Because, I mean, she's, you know, straight up saying to go complain. Not yep. approach, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then we saw it, you know, was very blatant what she was trying to do in the last episode.
Yeah.
The girl wants to play football. Mm-hmm. So I think we've come to the point now where Lisa's actually very conscious of all this stuff she's doing. She just embraces it. And so Lisa does go back, right? And mm-hmm. she goes back with an attorney, kind of, yeah. because it's Lionel Hutz, right?
Yeah, he's kind of an attorney.
Yes, and so basically, Lisa says that my attorney, Lionel Hutz, calls your attention to Municipal Code 147C. Protection of antiquities and fossils.
And Hutz goes, that's right. And he passes his briefcase. And the briefcase opens and we only see like a
apple core.
Apple core and a sandwich in there.
And the sandwich has a bite out of it too, right?
Yeah.
Ugh. And the guy that's there at the site, right? Mm-hmm. He says, there aren't any fossils here, little girl. Museum folks dug them up years ago.
And Lisa goes, but what if they missed something? You have to allow an archaeological survey.
Then he says, who's going to make us? You. And they all start laughing.
Even Lionel Hutz.
Yes, even Lionel Hutz.
So then this guy's partner goes, now hold on, Sid. Apparently the guy's name is Sid, right?
Yeah.
He goes, maybe we should let the kid dig. It could be good publicity.
Right, and they kind of walk away and they're talking and says, fine, if you want to dig, be my guest.
And Lionel Hutz goes, fine, we'll see you in court.
To which Lisa tells him, Mr. Hutz, we won.
And I love this part.
Yes.
He kind of turns to Lisa and goes, "We?"
That's so harsh.
He's like, "I'm the attorney here, little girl."
Yeah, exactly. Oh, right. My God. He said nothing that whole time. And the next day, I love this. Lisa walks into Principal Skinner's office, right? He's sitting at his desk. She tells him, "Principal Skinner, remember how I didn't sue when I found that scorpion in my applesauce? Well, I'm calling in a favor."
And Skinner goes, "I knew this day would come."
And so that's funny. She had that kind of leverage. Mm-hmm. And so we hear an announcement, right, in the classrooms. And Skinner says, "Attention, all honor students. We'll be rewarded with a trip to an archaeological dig."
And all the nerds start to cheer.
Which is Sherry Terry.
Martin
and, yeah, that's it, right? In that class, yeah, I think so. And says, "Conversely, all detention students will be punished with a trip to an archaeological dig."
And all the kids that are in detention start to boo.
Yeah.
Of course, Jimbo, Dolph, Kearney. And Nelson.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And so we cut to the field trip, right?
All right. So, right, we see the bullies using one of those axe picks, right? They're smashing the ground. They're wearing, like, prison-style outfits.
That's funny.
And they're even singing, right?
Yeah.
And Jimbo's like, "Gonna dig me a hole.
Gonna dig me a hole.
Gonna put a nerd in it.
Gonna put a nerd in it.
Gonna take a firecracker.
Gonna take a firecracker." And they stop it right there.
Uh-huh. So then we see Skinner, who's looking out through his scope.
Yeah, it's like an old school... Yeah, it's like a what do you call it? A spyglass?
Spyglass, yeah. Man, I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Yeah.
So then he's looking through the spyglass as he's watching all the kids going through the site. Uh-huh. And Lisa goes, "This is so exciting. I can't wait to see what we find."
And Skinner says, "I must admit, this is rather exciting." And he's like, "Look, there's something right here." And he picks up and he's like, "It seems to be some sort of rock." And he crumbles in his hands like, "Oh no, it's just a clump of dirt. Even so, my heart is pounding like a kettle drum. I better sit down for a while." And he sits down, he starts wiping his brow like, man, this guy must be bored all the time.
Jesus, man, this is excitement for him.
Square.
Uh-huh. So, we go to another part of the dig site and we see Ralph and he seems to have found something. "Principal Skipper, Principal Skimster, I found something." Right, and everybody gathers around him. He's like, "It's a spearhead."
And Miss Hoover's there, of course, and in her, the only way she can. "That's your towel blade, Ralph. It fell off the handle."
"And I found it."
Terrible.
Yep. He can't say principal now. Principal.
Principal, yeah. And so Lee says, "Okay, everyone, back to work. You never know when we might uncover a Tyrannosaurus." And everybody walks off.
Except for Ralph.
Yes, he takes it as... literal, and he runs off screaming, right?
Yep. We have to remember Ralph is very special. Very special little boy. So we cut to later that day.
Yeah, they have a little time lapse, right? Mm-hmm.
And the sun is starting to go down, right? Bart and Milhouse are shoveling dirt into Martin's pants because Martin fell asleep. And Principal Skipper Skimster, right, is preparing to say... "The day is done."
Yeah. And Lisa doesn't want to go yet. She tries to, like, she's searching through the dirt. She's like, "We're going to find something." And she actually sees something, right? And she starts digging, and it's a skeleton, right? Mm-hmm. And then she keeps digging, and it looks like it has wings.
Yes.
Right?
And by this time, we have a crowd forming around Lisa, and one of them is Dr. Hibbert. And he goes, "From the looks of it, I'd say this fellow died from causes unknown."
That's terrible.
Yes, very terrible.
And so they start looking more of it, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Look, there's..." Lisa tells him, "Look, there's more. What the heck is this thing?"
And this is when they unveil the wings, right?
Yeah.
And Hibbert's like, "Speaking from a strictly medical point of view, that ain't right."
And so as the wings are uncovered, Lisa's just like, "Oh my goodness."
And Milhouse is like, "What is it, Lisa?"
She says, "It looks like a human skeleton, but the other bones almost look like wings."
And Ned, "You mean an angel?"
And he's like, well, obviously that's impossible.
And then Mo goes, yeah, Lisa's right. It's an angel.
Oh, my goodness. And so Lisa jumps in, right? Like, no, but it can't be an angel.
And Mo says, no. Well, if you're not sure what it ain't, how about telling us what it am?
Oh, Mo. Uh-huh. And yes, everybody in the crowd is kind of like just behind Mo.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, tell us what it is. And Lisa says, and we get into a little sketch here, right?
Yeah.
So she says that maybe in the past, a Neanderthal was maybe searching for food and sticking its hands in the water, and then two fish, you know, come up and bite the arms of the Neanderthal.
By the way, the Neanderthal looks suspicious. Yes, like Homer.
Looks like Homer, which is hilarious. Uh-huh. So he runs about, you know, with them, and he falls unconscious in the mud. And then, of course, the skeleton is revealed in the present, right? That would explain the bones that look like wings.
Wing-like structures, right?
And Ned's not having it.
Yeah. Right. He's like, I gotta say, Lisa, it seems you're straining to do some misplaining.
And Wiggum just is like, yeah, everybody's heard of angels, but who's ever heard of a Neanderthal? God.
So Lisa goes, it could be anything. It could be a mutant from the power plant.
And Burns jumps in. He's like, oh, fiddle faddle. Everyone knows our mutants have flippers. Oh, I've said too much. Smithers, use the amnesia ray.
And Smithers goes, you mean the revolver, sir?
He says, precisely. Be sure to wipe down your own memory when you're clear when you're finished. Listen off himself. Yep. That's crazy.
That's one way to clear your memory. Just blow your brains out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, no.
So then... Dr. Hibbert goes, now, regardless of what this thing is, it's a priceless scientific find. So our more pressing concern
yes.
is how to determine who owns such a valuable skeleton. I propose I do.
And everyone's like, nope. And Mel jumps in. He's like, I'd like to hear from Lionel Hutz.
And then Hutz steps in. It's an authority legal issue, all right? I'll be referring to the case of finders versus keepers.
That's a good one, but yeah.
That's school ground law. Yeah. That's not legal law. Yeah, yeah.
And so Ned says that we can work it out as friends. In the spirit of sharing, why don't we simply place the sacred bones? And he doesn't even get to finish because we hear Homer honking the horn. He's already tied the skeleton to the back of his car. Right? And he says, so long, suckers! And he drives off.
So next thing we know, we see Homer pushing the skeleton into the cupboard.
Yes. And he's struggling, right? Yeah. He's like, come on, Angel!
And Marge's like, what are you doing with that?
And he says that he's locking it up in his safe deposit closet with his other valuables. He opens the door and his Grammy's in there and some other cool stuff we've seen throughout the years, right? Uh-huh. And he says that he's going to leave it in there for a few years and let it appreciate in value.
And Bart goes, it's probably a million years old, Dad. I think it's as valuable as it's going to get.
And he says, that's what they said about this Billy Beer, smarty pants. And he drinks. He's like, we elected the wrong Carter.
You know, I have a problem with this nasty habit that Homer has.
Which is what?
Drinking warm beer.
That's true.
I can't respect that.
No.
No.
I mean, unless you're, you know, one in roaming as the Romans do and you're the other side of the pond where they drink it warm.
Apparently, I've been told that is not the case.
It's with Guinness it is. That's what I
mean. Oh, Guinness. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because I know apparently room temperature beer over there means it's stored in the cold cellar.
Yeah.
But it's still not as cold as we drink it over here in America.
No, it's not. There's already ice in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Guinness, you drink it a little bit warmer, apparently.
Is that why it tastes like coffee?
I like Guinness. So yeah, I love it. I like it cold and I like it a little bit warm.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a little sketchy for me.
It's delicious. It's the nectar of the gods, sir.
I'll take your word for it.
And later, we see Homer and Marge watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Right? The TV announcer comes on. It's like, coming up next, a hilarious boat giveaway scam. That's Springfield's dumbest criminals.
And Homer starts laughing. He's like, sounds like good watching. Terrible.
He forgot his own incident, right?
Yep.
So next, we know The doorbell rings and Marge goes to answer the door. And it happens to be Ned.
Yes, and Ned with the kids, right? Mm-hmm. And Maude. And they're all dressed like they're going to church.
Yep.
And so he says, hey there, Marge. Just brought the kids over to share prayer with the angel, if it's all right with you.
And Homer's like, get your own angel, you moocher.
He just says it from across the house, right? Uh-huh. And Ned's like, thanks anyway, Homer. And so the doorbell rings again as soon as she turns around and Marge answers again. And it's Agnes, and she greets her. Hello, Agnes.
And Agnes goes, sorry to trouble you, but I'm going in for surgery tomorrow, and I was wondering if I could rub the angel with my foot for good luck. It's foot surgery.
And Homer from across the house again says, I'm trying to eat here. Beat it, peg leg.
And Agnes turns to Homer, jackass! Then she turns to Marge. Marge? She leaves.
Very politely to Marge. Uh-huh. But that's funny. Agnes ain't going to take that from Homer. Uh-oh. So that's funny. And Marge shuts the door, but then she stops, right? Because she just feels like someone else is there, so she reopens it. And the whole town is there now, right? It's Mo at the front. He says, we want to see your angel.
And then Lenny goes, come on, Homer. I just want a quick look-see. Pay you a buck.
And Homer says, a buck, eh? That gives me an idea. And we cut to Homer into the garage, right? He's made his whole little display for the angel. And he's taking admission. And he says, 50 cents, please.
Lenny was offering a dollar and he's asking for 50. Homer has no business sense.
Right. And he starts singing, right? Like, here's the angel. See the angel? It's my angel. No one else's. Next to the rakes. Right, which because it's in the garage.
Uh-huh. So Lisa goes, Dad, it's not fair to claim this thing is an angel. There's no proof of that.
And Homer says that no one's calling it an angel, Lisa. If you look carefully, I never once used the word angel.
And Lisa goes, what's that sign over there? And of course,
it says angel in huge letters.
Mm-hmm. And Homer says, that's a typo.
It's supposed to say angle, maybe?
Maybe, right?
And so Lisa tells Homer that, please just let me take it to the museum for one day. They can do scientific tests and prove it's not an angel.
And Homer goes, oh no. We could lose out on the bags of money. It's sacrilegious, I tell you.
It's terrible.
Yeah. How much money could he possibly be collecting with 50 cents?
Yeah, I know, right? Ugh. And we cut to that night, and Lisa kind of breaks into the garage, and she chips a toe bone off of the angel, right? And she pulls her bicycle up outside. And she goes to the museum. She goes inside, and she sees a big blue whale, right? It's the Springfield Natural History Museum. Uh-huh. And she thinks it's a fake one, right? And it's actually a real blue whale. They're just wetting it down and feeding it.
Uh-huh.
That would be impossible.
No. How are you going to have it up there?
It would be cool to see one of those things in person.
God damn, man. Those things are
that's
huge.
That's going to be crazy to see.
They're huge.
I know. That's going to be awesome to see, though. That'd be scary.
Imagine those people that are out on boats and those things swim under them.
I know.
Jesus.
It's just...
Yeah.
That's crazy. And so she walks into the lab, right? And there's a Dr. Stephen J. Gould.
Right, so Lisa takes him this angel skeleton, right, to the lab. He goes... Dr. Gould goes... Astonishing. He's looking through the microscope, right? It's one of the most singular specimens I've ever encountered in my distinguished career. Anyway, that's enough of my work. What did you see? What did you want to see me about, Lisa?
He's staring at this.
I know, man.
And she has the little bone there with her. She's like, it's a bone scraping from that skeleton I found.
And Dr. Gold's, that so-called angel. The whole thing's preposterous, of course.
And Lisa says, quite preposterous. But no one will believe me until I can prove what it really is. And she asks him, can't you do a DNA test or something?
And Dr. Gold goes, certainly. I'll have the results by tomorrow.
And Lisa says, thank you very much. And then she stops. She's like, I can't afford to pay you.
And Dr. Gold goes, I didn't become a scientist for financial gain. Whatever little money you have will be just fine.
I love that. Because she kind of stops, right? Like, that was funny.
Yep. Whatever you have.
And so we cut back to the garage. And Carl and Lenny are arguing over the origins of the angel, right? Mm-hmm. And Carl says, I say it's the angel of peace, you idiot.
And Lenny goes, I say it's the angel of mercy, you jerk.
And Lisa comes in. She's like, excuse me. I took a piece of the skeleton for scientific analysis. Soon you will have all the facts.
And everybody goes, you did what? Stupid.
And all the boos, right? Mm-hmm. And Homer says, facts are meaningless. You can use facts to prove anything that's remotely true. Facts, schmacks. I love that line, right?
Oh, my God. It's so funny. Did you ever hear that Mark Twain's feelings about statistics?
No.
He goes, there are three types of lies. Lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Nice.
So Lisa, who sees Dr. Gould running toward them, goes, ha! Here's Dr. Gould now. What were the results, Professor?
And he says, inconclusive.
And Lisa's like, inconclusive? Then why did you run up like that?
And he says, can I use your bathroom? And she kind of like points him out and he goes.
So then Reverend Lovejoy happens to be there, goes, well, it appears science has failed again in the front of overwhelming religious evidence.
That's a good line.
Yes,
man.
It is.
That's a great line. At least it's trying, but.
And Mo goes, go home, science girl.
I am home.
Good. Stay there.
Mo trying to fight with her. Uh-huh. And Homer says, all right, folks. Get your angel glow sticks, right? Comes out with a bunch of, he's like, no one gets into heaven without a glow stick.
And Ned goes, I'll take four.
Oh my goodness. And that's a joke they also use in Futurama with Zoidberg a lot. Like whenever they're selling something, take eight.
Yeah.
Like they jump. So good little transfer right there.
I always wonder, Zoidberg's always broke. How can he afford these things?
I know, right?
Yeah. So Lisa goes into the kitchen where she finds Marge. She's like, oh, these morons made me feel so angry. And she takes a drink from the fridge, right?
And Marge says, maybe so, but I'd appreciate it if you didn't call them morons.
But they are morons. What grown person could believe in angels?
And Marge's like, well, your mother, for one.
He's like, you? But you're an intelligent person, Mom.
And Marge tells her, there has to be more to life than just what we see, Lisa. Everyone needs something to believe in.
And Lisa goes, it's not that I don't have a spiritual side. I just find it hard to believe there's a dead angel hanging in our garage.
And Marge tells her, you know, my poor Lisa, if you can't make a leap of faith now and then, well, I feel sorry for you.
And Lisa goes, don't feel sorry for me, Mom. I feel sorry for you. And she walks away.
Ooh.
In that typical arrogant fashion that she has sometimes.
It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't stop there, though, right?
Mm-mm.
And she goes on Smartline with Kent Brockman, which is, of course, the Dateline of Springfield. And Kent's there and he says, next on Smartline, Springfield Angel Controversy. Our guest tonight, making her 13th appearance on Smartline, Miss Lisa Simpson. See, okay, apparently we've missed the other 12.
Yes, we have.
And he starts. He says, Miss Simpson, how can you maintain your skepticism despite the fact that this thing really, really looks like an angel?
And Lisa goes, I think it's a fantasy. If you believe in angels, then why not unicorns, sea monsters, and leprechauns?
And Ken says, oh, that's a bunch of baloney, Lisa. Everyone knows that leprechauns are extinct. So bad.
Yep. So then Lisa goes, look, you can either accept science and face reality, or you can believe in angels and live in a childish dream world.
Yep. And so we see the religious people of Springfield, right? They're in a church and they're watching this on a TV. Right? Mo says, science, what's science ever done for us? TV off.
And the TV shuts off.
Yeah.
Proving that science has done something for Mo.
Yes, plenty.
So Ned goes, science is like a blabbermouth who ruins a movie by telling you how it ends. Well, I say there are some things we don't want to know. Important things.
And everybody backs them up.
Like, some important things that we don't want to know?
Yeah, no. Yeah. And Agnes, she just says, enough talk. It's smashing time. Right? She pulls out her, what is it, like a shovel or something like that, right?
So then, of course, where's the first place they're going to stop? The Museum of Natural History. and they destroy a Tyrannosaurus skeleton.
Yeah.
Right? They just smash it, right?
They smash up the observatory. Moe's
beating up on a mammoth.
Yeah.
And we see the tusk fall, and of course, it falls on top of him.
Yeah, right on his back, right? Uh-huh. And he's crushed. He says, "Oh, I'm paralyzed. I just hope medical science can cure me."
I guess he loves science now, right?
Yep.
And we go down to the robotics lab, and people are just bursting into flames.
Yeah.
Right? And robots come out. They're afraid for their lives. And we see Kent Brockman ask, why? Why was I, when they were asking, right? Why was I programmed to feel pain?
Poor robots. And Lisa's watching this at TV. And she's like, oh, I wish I'd never found those stupid bones. It's time to put an end to this. Bart, I'm borrowing your blue crowbar. And she pulls it out of where they have the umbrellas and stuff, right? Yeah.
And Bart goes, good old Bluey.
And Bart says, hey, she's going to smash the angel. And Homer's like,
somebody stop her! Of course, nobody actually bothers to try.
Yep. So she goes into the garage and she flicks on the light, but the angel is nowhere. She just says, it's gone!
And Homer goes, oh no, this can't be happening. What the hell are we gonna do with 10,000 angel ashtrays?
And there's boxes all over the garage.
I guess that was his latest scam to sell the angel ashtrays.
Yep. And Bart says, I can take up smoking.
You damn well better. Oh, God. Terrible. Homer's a terrible dad right there.
Yep.
So he's still panicking, right? The angel is gone, and the town is going to, they're going to be looking for Lisa, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, don't panic. Marge, stop panicking.
He, shakes her, right?
Uh-huh. So we need a replacement skeleton, and we need it now. Bart, strip down to your skeleton.
And at that moment, the mob arrives at the door. And Ned's there, and he says, we've come for the angel, Homer. It's not safe with the unbeliever.
And Mo sees, it's gone. We're too late.
And Quimby's there. He says, little girl, what have you done with our precious angel?
Lisa goes, nothing. Someone must have stolen it.
And Lovejoy looks at her, and he says, looks to me that Lisa Simpson found something that science could not explain, so she had to destroy it. And he points at the crowbar she's still carrying in her hand, right?
And Wiggum goes, well, that's all the evidence I need. Arrest the girl.
She's like, hey.
And Marge's like, what? She didn't do anything.
And I love this part. We see Bart talking to Wiggum, and he slips some money into his pocket, and he's like, give her a nice cell. Something in C-block.
Oh my God, right. So next thing we know, we're in court and Judge Snyder has the case, right? Yeah. He goes, Lisa Simpson, you are charged with destruction of a historic curiosity, a misdemeanor. By the larger sum, this trial will settle the age-old question of science versus religion. Let the opening statements commence.
And we see that sleazy lawyer with the blue hair, right? Mm-hmm. And he's there, Your Honor, over the coming weeks and months, we will prove that Lisa Simpson willingly destroyed. And as he's talking, right, Lisa notices the angel on the hill out the window.
And Lenny goes, there's the angel! And they all run out to see the angel.
And Judge Snyder, I find the defendant not guilty. As for science versus religion, I'm issuing a restraining order. Science should stay 500 yards from religion at all times. He hits the gavel, right?
Yep. Good luck with that. So eventually, they all get to the angel on the hill. And Lenny goes, wow, do you think it flew up here?
And Mo says, well, it didn't ride up on no zebra. I don't know why that line is.
Why a zebra? I don't know.
Who knows?
Uh-huh. So then Homer goes, look, a message that will come at sundown. He laughs. Yeah.
The end will come, right?
The end will come in time. And he goes, wait a second. I don't like the sound of that.
And Ralph says, Daddy, I'm scared. Too scared to even wet my pants.
And Wiggum goes, just relax. And it'll come, son.
And Lovejoy, of course, says, now even Lisa Simpson must agree that we have witnessed a miracle.
And Lisa, of course, goes, hardly. Anyone could have written that.
And Homer says, oh, angel, listen not to this child of Satan.
So Ned goes, Reverend, I do have to admit that this is that this doomsday has me just a smidge pitter-tated.
And he's like, oh, do be calm, Ned. But be very afraid also. Tremendously afraid. For the day of reckoning is upon us.
Right. So the next thing we know, for some reason, we're at Vatican City. And they've told the popes of the event, right? The messenger goes, Your Holiness, there is word from America. They say an angel has foretold the apocalypse.
The pope just, keep an eye on it. That's all the attention he gets. Uh-huh.
So next thing we know, we're back in Principal Skinner's office, and Edna is sitting on the desk, right? And she goes, this could be our last day together. This could be our last day together, our love, right? How about a farewell romp in the garden of earthly delights?
And he says, oh, Edna, my buttercup, you read my mind. And he says, just give me 20 minutes or so to finish these tardy slips.
Oh, God. It's the end of the world and you're worried about tardy slips?
I know, right? I mean, you're getting the come on and it's like... Yeah.
Tardy. She's waving you in.
Yep.
Next thing we know, we're at the Simpsons' bedroom and the kids are getting dressed up, but they don't know why. And Bart goes, where are we going, Mom? Are we going to Black Angus?
And Marge says, well, you might say we're going to the best steakhouse in the whole universe.
And Bart goes, so not going to Black Angus.
I've never been to a Black
Angus. Me either.
So I wouldn't. I can't, yeah. And Marge starts putting a bow on Lisa. And Lisa's upset, right? She's like, will you leave me alone? It's bad enough you're making me go to your stupid judgment day.
Marge goes, please, Lisa. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I really wish we could make peace before sunset.
This is nothing's going to happen, Mom. I hate to disappoint you, but the world is not coming to an end. And she takes off. Right?
So then it is now sunset, right? And all the people of Springfield are gathered on the hill and around the angel, right? Ned goes, shall we sing a hymn? Dear my God, to maybe or Amazing Grace.
And Lovejoy says, nah.
So then we see Homer and he's holding Marge's hands. Like, oh, Marge, don't let go. No matter what, if they want you in heaven, they have to take me too.
That's funny.
Yep. She's going to, I'm afraid, I think that Homer thinks she's going to be raptured.
Yeah.
And he's going to be left behind.
Yeah. He's like, they have to take me too.
What was the Simpsons one? Left Below?
Yeah. I think it was that.
Yeah, because the one here is left behind, right? The Simpsons is left below. Okay.
And the sun starts to set, right? And Wiggum's there with his watch out, and he says, 10 seconds till sundown.
Patty, take out a cigarette, right?
Yeah, Patty and Selma.
Yeah, they smoke. It's like, we did it. We beat cancer. And they stub their cigarettes out.
Yep. And Smithers says, oh, what the hell? And he grabs Mr. Burns, and he kisses him. Like, deeply, kisses him.
And Burns has his look in his eyes.
He's like
we hear Wiggum. 7, 6.
And then everybody comes in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Sunsets. And everybody gasps.
But nothing happens.
Yep.
Not right away anyway. And Lisa's about to lecture the town. But then something happens.
Yes. We hear silence. Prepare for the end! And everybody's freaking out, right?
Because we see the angel kind of rising up, right?
Yep. And it keeps going. The end of high prices! Behold! The grand opening of the Heavenly Hills Mall! And in the distance in the back at the bottom of the hill on the other side, the mall lights up, right? Mm-hmm. And it's some dudes in the mall talking into the angel. It says, please follow the angel for all your shopping needs! And we see like a cable and the angel runs down the cable like a zip line, and then and then it like sticks at the entrance of the mall. It's a weird decoration, but there you go, right?
And Lisa goes, "Wait a second! You planted a phony skeleton for me to find. This was all a big hoax."
And it said, "He's like, not a hoax, a publicity stunt."
Lisa's like, "You exploited people's deepest beliefs just to anoint your cheesy wares. Well, we are outraged." Outraged, aren't we?
And Wiggum's there. Oh, yes, we're outraged. Very much so. But look at all the stores. A pottery barn.
And Mo goes, and 20% off everything? Does that include rat spray?
And Sis Parker says, oh yeah.
Agnes goes, out of my way, shorty.
And they all run to the mall, right? And we see Lisa there with the doctor.
Yeah.
Right? And he says, I don't understand, Professor. Why didn't your test show that skeleton was a fake?
And Dr. Gould goes, I'm going to be honest with you, Lisa. I never did the tests. And he walks away.
And so everybody gets to the mall. Smithers holds the door open for Mr. Burns.
And Smithers goes, sir, about that kiss. I hope you understand it was merely a sign of my respect.
Burns like, yes, yes, of course. And it just kind of goes inside, right? Oh, it's so awkward.
Yep. Anyway, while this is happening, Lisa and Marge are trying to make up, right? Marge goes, well, I guess you were right, honey. But you have to admit, when the angel started to talk, you were squeezing my hand pretty hard.
And she's laughing like, well, it was just so loud. And thanks for squeezing back.
Marge goes, anytime, my angel. And they both walk off into the distance, holding hands.
Yes, and we end the episode right there.
Yeah. So, what do you think of this one?
It's one of my favorites. It, just because there's some good jokes in it. The thing is, in some seasons, I would say this is a total five. But in comparison
to everything we've been watching,
it's not quite a five for me. Mm-hmm. I would say it's a 4.5 donut episode.
I would have to agree with you. There are some classic lines that come out of this. It's, my boating arm.
Yes. It's not a bad episode in any way or form. It's just...
The bar has been set really high.
Yes, the bar has been set very, very high. We've become spoiled at this point.
Yes. There is nothing wrong with this episode.
Yes.
It just comes up a little short.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But what's not to like?
Yeah. So you're at 4.5 also?
Yes. It's 4.5. Lisa annoying everybody, trying to stop progress from happening, and of course, I like how they use her to get even more publicity.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
Yeah, kind of egg all over Lisa's face.
Yeah, I think it's in this season more than any other that they really drive home the whole Lisa being a little activist about everything and.
Yeah,
they've really upped it in this, you know, the recent
she's episode. Been extra annoying.
Yeah
Now she hasn't hit peak Lisa annoying.
No, but she's getting there. You see the progress.
Yeah,
but yeah, man, there's a lot to like about this episode still. You know, even the rat spray part just makes me laugh at the end.
There's
a lot, you know. Ralph, I found it. Just the little jokes.
And I found it. God damn. Like, it's your own trial break.
And I found it. Homer's got some good lines in it. You know, the whole thing about facts. You can put just about anything.
Fash match.
Anything true.
Was it? Then he said something else about, what was it? Polls, right? Statistics. Everybody knows that you can. 70% of people know that you can make up anything about statistics. 50% of people know that.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, good episode. Just not again. Super high bar. Yeah. Right now.
Mm-hmm. And I did appreciate the fact that it had a couch gag and a chalkboard gag.
Yes, too. That was good. That was. I think that's what keeps it close to a five.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, still a great episode. I like how Ned really loses his mind about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, even like everybody's parts are great. Like Reverend Lovejoy is hilarious in this episode.
Yeah, and all those, this really was a Simpson-centric episode. We did see a lot of the characters, but there wasn't a lot of involvement in the episode itself. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of providing background noise and pushing the episode in a certain direction.
I mean, like you hardly heard anything from Bart in this episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, the little prank on Martin and the crowbar. Like, you really didn't hear from Bart.
Yeah. Mostly Lisa.
Yeah.
Homer, Marge. Mm-hmm. But it was still a damn good episode.
Yes, it is.
Anything else you'd like to say before we sign off for the week?
Nope, I'm good on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, don't forget to follow our official show Instagram. I posted a new meme today.
Yes, you did. That was hilarious.
Yeah. So it's official underscore Homers underscore Donuts. Go on there. Look at my memes. I think most of them are pretty good.
Yes, they are.
Most of them are pretty good. Yeah. If there's anything you think we can do to make this show better for you, please let us know. Send us a nice little DM. Don't forget to like and rate our show, please. Yes,
please give us a follow.
Those ratings, guys, they just help other people find our little show easier. And until next week, au revoir, suckers.